Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
I love that song, because the storms of life come to all of us, don't they? What do you do when you're in the middle of the storm? We've been working our way through the book of Mark, and we've been, I'm going to skip to the end of chapter 4. Between last week's story and on how it showed that Jesus was Lord of the Sabbath and this week's story where he calms the storm are a number of parables. Jesus, true to form, talks about the kingdom of God, but now he's going to give us a glimpse of the kingdom of God through his actions. If you have your Bibles or smartphones or tablets, you want to look along, Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. It might be helpful to understand the Jewish mindset around Jesus' time. There were countries around Israel, like the Phoenicians, who were a seafaring nation, but Israel was not. Behind the story of Mark, Mark readers would have heard echoes of the Old Testament. What happened when Jonah went sailing? Got swallowed by a fish, right? How does creation start off? Well, there's chaos. And the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. Creation described as being in chaos. And several of the Psalms describe how God rules over the raging sea. What do you have when you put those pictures together? Well, apart from a few fishermen on the Sea of Galilee, it seems that, well, the Jewish people were not sailors. They were not a seafaring people. The sea for them became a symbol of dark power, of threatening to destroy God's good creation. In Daniel chapter 8, you see monsters coming up out of the sea. So when we get to Jesus and rescuing his disciples from the raging storm, he's saying a lot more than, well, here I can calm the storm at a specific time, at a specific place. He's saying, I'm Lord over the storm. I'm Lord over the chaos. I'm Lord over the monsters. I'm Lord over what you fear. In other words, Jesus calming the storm is not just a wow moment for the disciples, but it is this incredible window into Jesus as Lord over all and Lord over the storms of your life. So with that background, let's step into the story. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There are also other boats with him. I want you to notice that it was at Jesus' suggestion that they went out sailing in the first place. In fact, Mark has this curious line, they took him along as he was. Seemed that Jesus was already in the boat. He may have already been having a nap in the boat. So you have Jesus in the boat. You have the disciples joining Jesus in the boat. You have the disciples responding to the suggestion that they go out onto the lake. A little time passes, and this huge storm comes up. I've been around long enough, and I've talked with enough people to know that when the storms of life come up, the first question that we tend to ask is, what did I do wrong? Why is this happening to me? I must have done something to cause this. Of course, none of us are perfect, so if you cast around long enough, you'll probably find something to point to. And the truth of the matter is we know that we can cause some of the storms of life, right? If you smoke for a long time and you get lung cancer, well, you know, that's part of causing the storm. We know that intuitively, but so when the storms hit our lives, our question is, what did I do wrong? Here's what I would say to you. If it's not obvious, do not go casting around for reasons for the storm. The disciples, they hear the voice of Jesus. They follow Jesus into the boat, and they end up in the middle of the storm. You can do everything right and still get overwhelmed by the storms of life. For those of you who are suffering with anxiety and depression, I want you to hear that. For those of you who are battling stuff going wrong with your body, I want you to hear that. For those of you who have kids that have gone sideways, I want you to hear that. I want you to hear that you can do everything right and still be caught in some pretty horrendous storms. I want those of you who are experiencing difficulty in the workplace to hear that. You can follow Jesus. You can listen to Jesus. You can do all the right things and still get overwhelmed by the storms of life. Well, Mark records something else that the other Gospels don't record. The last line, there were also other boats with him. We don't know if these boats followed him out into the storm or if they just followed him out a little way and turned back. Assuming that they were following him to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, then they would have been caught in the storm as well. So when Jesus does his miracle that we've heard about from the scripture reading, the disciples would start to understand who he is. But there's this knock-on effect. The disciples' miracle became the miracle for the boats around them as well. There is a spillover effect of God's grace. And I want you to know that God is going to meet you in the middle of your storm, and there'll be a spillover to those around you. Well, verse 37. The furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that they were nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, back of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. So Jesus leads them into the middle of the storm, into the middle of the lake where the storm comes up. It's his whole idea. And what's he doing? He's taking a nap. My, that's a great picture for some of the legs of my spiritual journey. Things are going well, ministry's going well, people are being taught, life is going on as it should. Continue to follow Jesus. You get into the boat, and you know that Jesus is in the boat, and then the storm comes up. And in the middle of the storm, you know that God is with you. You have this assurance that he's close by. But it kind of feels like he's non-responsive. I'm trying to navigate the storm. And I'm rowing for all I'm worth. And you see this next big wave coming, and you're trying to get yourself out of the storm and get into a position to handle that big wave. And you're tired, and your muscles are strained, and you have anxiety of what might happen next. You call out to God, and he seems asleep. Have you ever been there? It's like the song Linda just sang. I was sure by now, God, you would have reached out and wiped our tears away, stepped in to save the day. And once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I am with you. You know God is with you but it's still raining. What do you do with that? Verse 38. So Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" You know, it's an easy thing to go from a place where I know God is with me to a place where I wonder if God cares for me. It wasn't that long ago that the disciples saw Jesus casting out demons, healing the sick, forgiving the sins of the paralytic, and then healing him so that he could walk again, demonstrating that he was Lord over the Sabbath. It wasn't that long ago that the disciples had this front row seats to these amazing miracles. However, the storm hit. And it's so easy for them to forget. It is so easy for them to jump to the conclusion in the middle of the storm that God doesn't care. "Hey, Jesus, you think you could help us out here?" They didn't just go over and shake his shoulder. It records, they yelled at him. They shouted, "Lord, don't you care?" I've shouted at Jesus way too often. "Don't you care?" Verse 39. So when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was this great calm. I love the fact that Jesus was a sound sleeper and he could sleep through the storm. I don't like it when I'm in the middle of a crisis and it feels like he's asleep. But Jesus rouses himself. He rebukes the wind. He rebukes the waves. He says, "Silence, quiet." Immediately the wind dies down. The sea became calm. Imagine the disciples didn't really know what to feel. Here they're in the middle of this adrenaline rush. And they're rowing like crazy, and they're fearing for their lives. And then Jesus just says, "Silent, be still," and all's calm. Now all they hear is just kind of the lap of the water against the side of the boat. They're saying, "What do you do with that?" Jesus' words to his disciples were, verse 40, he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Jesus is saying, I'm in the boat with you. You've seen what I've done in the past. How is it that you have no faith for right now? Notice he wasn't rebuking them for being in the middle of the storm. He wasn't rebuking them for what they did in the storm. He was rebuking them for worrying about the outcome of the storm. I think Jesus was looking for the kind of faith that Julian of Norwich, a 14th century follower of Jesus, displayed when she said, "And all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well." The storm may be fierce, the waves may be high, the future may be uncertain. It may feel like you are about to be swamped, but you can still trust Jesus with the outcomes, and all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. I get it that it's hard in the middle of a storm. If your storm is cancer, a cancer diagnosis, and or you've experienced a severe injury, or you feel the darkness closing in, or you feel the uncertainty of life and your finances or relationships or your kids and it's pressing in on you, whatever your storm, God is with you, and you can trust him for the outcomes. And it will be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. For the one who calms the storm is the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? We often see Jesus speaking to the middle of the storms in my world. And there was peace. But I also recognize that life isn't all there is. And so Paul was able to worship in a prison where he did not know whether or not he would be released or executed. Why? Because he knew that Jesus was Lord in life and in death. On my better days, in the middle of a storm, I can reach out by faith and say with Julian of Norwich, and all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. On my not so better days, I hear Jesus rebuking me and say, why are you so afraid? You still have so little faith? You'll notice he doesn't abandon his disciples for their lack of faith. He just calls out the discrepancy between the miracles that they have seen and the fear that they had in the storm. He doesn't call us out as well for a lack of faith. I think he calls us out as well for our discrepancy between the faith that we profess and the faith that we live out. He doesn't abandon us. He doesn't call us. He just calls us to be something better. In the middle of the storm, will you say, and all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well? Or will you go screaming, God, don't you care? See, the disciples see the wind calm down and the waves disappear. Jesus' response was to point out the discrepancy between what they had seen and where they were right now. The disciples' response was verse 41. And they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Their response is, who is this guy? You know, Jesus has already shown authority over demons and over sickness and over disease and paralysis and all those sorts of things. He taught with one who had authority. But now Jesus is demonstrating that he is Lord over all creation. And the disciples just had their minds blown. For them, this was a whole new level of authority. They come to terms with the fact that, well, Jesus was greater than the demonic and that he could heal any kind of sickness. They've been consistently amazed by Jesus. But their view of Jesus was still just too small. They couldn't imagine the storm that was about to swamp them was insignificant compared to the authority of Jesus. I wonder sometimes if our view of God isn't too small. You know, we pray, and we see what other people might term to be coincidences. And it's amazing how many coincidences seem to happen when we pray. We see answers to prayer and how God arranges circumstances and how he provides. And we've seen it again and again and again. But I wonder if our view of God is too small. When the storms of life look bigger than the God I serve, then my God is too small. When the future that I face seems uncontrollable and I'm afraid, my God is too small. If in the middle of the storm I can't say, and all shall be well, and all shall be well, my God is too small. You know, Sunday after Sunday, we declare in prayer, in song, through words, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Part of what that means is that he's Lord over the storms of life. So the question is, can you trust him in the storm? Or is there this discrepancy between the faith you profess and the attitude you have towards your storm? Can you trust Jesus enough to say, I'm going to trust him to say, all shall be well? This is part of what it means to profess that Jesus is Lord. When we profess that Jesus is Lord, we are saying that he's Lord over all, even the storms. Jesus is Lord of the storm. There's some of you here, as I've been talking, you see the discrepancy between the faith you profess and what you're viewing as your storm right now. Your storm is bigger than God. If that's you, would you say to Jesus, Jesus, forgive me for my lack of faith. I declare that you're Lord, even of the storm. Can you trust him with the storm? There's an old chorus that we used to sing, and I want us to sing it this morning. He is Lord, he is Lord, he is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Some of you will sing this as a declaration. God, I'm going to trust that you're Lord over all. I'm going to proclaim that you are Lord over the storms I face. Others will sing this as a prayer. Lord, I want you to be Lord in the middle of the storm. Help me to have enough faith to say, all shall be well. All shall be well. And all manner of things shall be well. Sing this chorus with me. He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So now, Lord, we declare you as Lord over the storm. Thank you so much for the fact that you are bigger than what we encounter. Lord, I pray that you would give us the faith to say, and all shall be well. Even in the middle of the storms, and all shall be well. Even when we don't know what's coming, and all manner of things shall be well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.